Number one desirable. Out of what I want, when I want, and how I want it. Leave you with the one in the air. What's up, my lovely listeners? Welcome to the And That's the Tea podcast. If you're listening, I am super excited you're here because this episode is going to be all about finances and the costs of competing. So let's get started. I'm just going to go ahead and dive right into it. I did kind of have an idea with this, so I want to do a competition series on my podcast because it's so broad of a topic and I just feel like trying to cram in a bunch of information, a lot of things can get lost in that and I just want to split it up. So, you know, I want to do an episode on finances, which is what you're listening to right now. And then I also want to do an episode like on first time competition / show day stuff. Just things that you should know. And then I want to do another episode on things that I wish I knew before I competed, like maybe my regrets or something. Hashtag no regrets. So let's go ahead and get started with this. So I divided this up a little bit into categories because the one thing that's really nice about competition prep is that you don't have to pay for everything at once. So that's super, super beneficial for a lot of you, especially a lot of you who are students or, you know, just not really established yet in your career. I do want to kind of preface this by saying you should not start a competition prep if you are not stable in your financial life. Or if you don't have any type of job security or anything like that, I don't think it's smart for you at this point in time to commit to something like competing. I don't think you should compete if you can't feed your children. I don't think you should compete if you can't prioritize your health first, if you have bills to pay. Just there's a lot of things rest on money. And I don't agree with the saying money cannot buy happiness, because money can buy opportunity, and opportunity is happiness for me. I mean, doing things is happiness for me, and a lot of these things that I do wouldn't happen if I didn't have the finances for it. You know what I mean? So I just don't agree with that saying. And competing is one of my greatest joys in life. But it's definitely not something I could have done if I couldn't pay for it. I mean, that's just how it is. There's really nothing else I can say about that. But anyways, also another disclaimer, a lot of these things can be cut corners with, not a lot, but some of them. And I will touch base with you on those things as they come up in this episode of, oh, you can do this and this instead of going for the most expensive option, especially when we get into like your show day look, like hair, makeup, suit, etc. So here we go. Okay, so the first section I have for you is kind of the pre-prep section. So this is a section that a lot of you guys are probably already paying for right now. And it wouldn't really add to anything as far as competing goes. It's just stuff that you're already financing, just being an active individual with a gym membership who is interested in bodybuilding and maybe wants to start competing. So you're going to want to hire a coach. This is a non-negotiable, and this is something you absolutely should not cut corners with. You shouldn't hire the cheapest coach. You shouldn't hire a coach that makes you pay for the whole thing up front either. That says a lot about a coach as well. You shouldn't cut corners here price-wise or quality-wise, because in this industry, as far as coaching goes, you truly do get what you pay for. Justin is the most expensive coach I've had, but he's also the best coach I've had. No shade to any other coaches, but that's just how it is. I mean, more, the price should go up with the level of education and experience and success in the industry, I think. I mean, that's just how it is. And Alex Bush, his prices are pretty similar as well. Two really awesome individuals. So yeah, I wouldn't skim around there for sure. And then you're going to look at your gym. So do you have a gym you can go to for your cardio, for your training? I actually have two different gyms. One of the gyms I go to is kind of when I'm feeling like I want to be a bodybuilder that day and I don't want to give a shit about what people think about me, and I just want to go in and get sweaty and like just feel disgusting and then go home and take a shower after. Like that's one of my favorite gyms, and that's Ozark Iron Gym here in Northwest Arkansas. And I pay for that one, and then I also pay for another gym that's really, really close to my apartment. So that one's more for like it's easy to get to. The hours are a lot longer. They have more to offer as far as machines and free weights go. They have more cardio. They have more equipment. They have a pool. They have a sauna. They have a stretching. It's kind of one of those. It's just there's a lot more there for the money. But the vibe isn't always cool because there's also a lot of like college kids, because I do live in a college town. So you kind of just have to pick your poison with that one. I mean, my favorite is Ozark Iron though, just because it's that vibe. Like I don't really think you can beat vibes. But anyways, so I do pay for two memberships. And then you're going to go into food. So how much are you already spending on your food each week? Like, are you actually, like, I hope most of you have a budget for your groceries. I mean, you can cut corners with food pretty easily. It's just like finding the cheapest deals for yourself. Like, I can't really tell you how to cut corners with your food. I can offer some tips. Like we like to shop at Aldi's, or we buy in bulk at Sam's, or we just stick to whole foods. Like just rice is really cheap and potatoes are usually pretty cheap. You know, buy seasonal. Like if berries are in season or squash is in season right now, it's really cheap, or just things like that. I mean, and your meats, I mean, higher fat meats are going to be cheaper than leaner meats, but that's something I don't really cut corners with, because I do need that lean meat, because I don't like to really waste my fats on meats pretty much. I just like oils and stuff and nuts. But anyways, there's ways to cut corners. That just comes along with prepping and knowing each week what you're going to need and like what your macros are. Like for me, it's more expensive. I think it's more expensive food-wise for me when I am in prep than when I'm in my off season, because when I'm in my off season, I can buy non-specialty item foods. So that means things like I can just buy like the cheapest bread, or like higher fat meats, which are cheaper. Rice is pretty cheap. But when I'm in prep, I'm trying to find foods that are specialty and lower macros, and usually that comes with more expensive cuts of meat, or like sugar-free things, lower carb things, but more volume, like a lot of fresh produce, and just a lot of foods that are higher volume but lower calorie, if that makes sense. And then I also do spend my money a lot on like carbonated drinks and stuff like that, just like prep packs, like seasonings and things. And like in my off season, I don't really care for them as much, but when I'm in prep, I do spend money on those things just because they help curb appetites. I mean, I'm not a clutch on them by any means, but I do notice that my grocery bills are a little bit more expensive during prep, just because I like having more options, I guess. All right, so let's transition. Oh, one last thing with the pre-prep phase, supplements. So this is going to go both ways. This is going to go both for just your regular creatine, your EAAs, your protein powders. And then you're going to, if you're an enhanced athlete, you need to budget for the drugs that you are taking right now, which I'm sure you already are if you are enhanced, and the drugs that you will be utilizing during your prep. I think it's pretty smart to talk with your coach if you're enhanced and make a list of the things that he or she thinks you're going to need and want you to have on hand, ready to go, and just buy it all at once, instead of just like making multiple orders throughout your prep, because that can get pretty expensive, especially with shipping, and then you have the middleman. I don't really want to go into ordering for drugs, but you know what I mean. And I'm sure most of you listening that are enhanced already know these things. So it's not really anything new to you. But then just the average supplements that you get from, you know, a supplement store or something, like, I hope you guys realize that a lot of the supplements that you are spending your money on, you probably don't really need, aside from creatine and like a cortisol supplement or something that helps your joints if you're enhanced, or just regular vitamins and minerals. Like, I mean, guys, just stick to the basics. Like, your body's pretty smart. Like, you don't need a bunch of like hormonal balance stuff and like, you know, just things that I see so, and I made a post about this the other day, but just I see so many supplement companies making up supplements for things that we should already be doing naturally. Like, your body knows how to detox. You don't need to take a pill to detox your body, okay? Creatine's pretty widely studied and it's shown to be very beneficial. So I would recommend some creatine. I don't really like protein powders. Like, I'm not going to tell you to not buy a protein powder, because I understand for a lot of people, protein is pretty versatile and it can be pretty hard to get into your day. But if you use a powder, you could mix it into things and stuff like that. So I understand that. But I personally do not like the taste of any type of whey protein. I just don't stomach it well. It's just not my thing. And like, when supplement companies send me protein powder, I'm like, okay, thanks. But like, I really don't use this. I'm sorry. And I mean, it is what it is. But during my preps, I also don't really utilize pre-workout like at all. Like, I do not like having jitters like that. And I train early in the morning, kind of like 9, 10 a.m. So I'm pretty awake just from my coffee and my breakfast and stuff. So I don't really feel the need to, you know, chug a monster or have like a scoop of pre-workout. It's just, I don't need it. And I'd rather save my adrenals than just like become super sensitized to caffeine and like develop a higher tolerance. But anyways, so that covers it for the pre-prep phase. But now moving into the prep phase, a lot of these things are going to be the same. A lot of the things I just talked about are going to be the same, except you're just going to be a little bit more adherent to everything and just kind of nailing all the boxes, checking everything off as far as, you know, supplements, food, coaching goes. I mean, prep is when I start buying things for my show, though. So that's where we're going to get into the things that you're going to need for your show, that it does take a little bit, and you should have these things lined up in your prep ready to go before your show day, especially your suit, like well before your show day. So let's talk about some of the paperwork you need for your prep. So if you compete in the NPC, and I'm not sure what it's like in natural federations anymore, I only did one natural show, but you will need an NPC card, which is basically your driver's license for the NPC. It's basically saying you can compete as an athlete in the NPC, and that's $125. And you can purchase it online, and you have to renew this every single year for that price. But you can buy your NPC card any time of the year. You can buy it like a week before your show, as long as you have it ready to go. So let's see. So yeah, you can order that anytime, and it comes like in the mail, or you can order it online and have it through email and print it out. Honestly, just whatever you want to do with that. But you do have to have it only once per year too. And then let's talk about your registration for your shows per class. And this depends on the show as well. I know national shows are about 20 times more expensive than a regional show. So your registration per class. So if you're a novice competitor, you can actually register for up to 3 classes, I believe. If it's your first time ever competing, you can do true novice. And then if it's anything after, like if you've competed before, you can, but you didn't win a novice class, you can still do novice and also do open. And open is for everyone, just FYI. But usually your first class registration is like, in my experience, it's been $125 per class and then $80 for each additional. So if the most classes you're competing in at a show are 3 classes, you're looking at like $125 plus another $160. So you do the math because I'm retarded. So that's kind of that with registration. I mean, I only compete in the open class now because I qualified out of true novice and then novice by winning my novice class and competing one time. So I can't compete in true novice anymore because I'm not a true novice. But anyways, so I just stick to open. So I do save a little bit of money there just because I'm not paying for other classes. And also if you want to do a crossover, like if you want to compete in bikini and then go and compete in figure, you can do that. You just have to pay for that. And then your show day looks. So your tan is usually, and this varies as well, but I think the most I've paid for my competition tan is around $150 to $160. And it just depends on the show and it depends on the company that the show brings in to do the tan. Most of the time you don't want to do your own tan because it's not going to match the rest of the stage, like the rest of the competitors, and that can be a bad thing. Like, yes, you want to stand out, but not in a bad way. So just make sure your tan, if you are going to do it yourself, go with a reputable company. Make sure, you know, you have someone checking your lines and your color looks okay and your color sits well on your skin. I personally wouldn't mess around with doing my own tan just because I feel like I would fuck it up really bad, and like I would rather pay to have someone do it right. And so I won't stick out on stage in a bad way and have like an Oompa Loompa, like greasy, when everyone else has like a nice matte bronze or something. So that's for your tan. And usually that whole price covers the entire tan. So you'll do your base tan and then your final spray in the morning. And that usually includes touch-ups too. So hair and makeup. So I've always done my hair myself. I've never hired someone to do my hair for a show day just because I'm pretty efficient at doing it myself. I do have extensions that I purchased for like $150 that I wear on my show day. And so I do recommend that. I don't know. I like the look of long hair. I mean, you don't have to. Just a personal preference. I like how I look with the longer hair. I like the personality it tends to give me. So hair and makeup. So makeup is something I would never ever try to fucking do myself because I would screw it up because I'm not one of those makeup artist girls. Like I don't do makeup. Like, no. So I always hire someone to do mine, and that's usually going to be around like maybe $100, like including tip. It just really depends on who you get, guys. But these are ways that you can cut corners, is doing your hair and makeup yourself if you're uber talented. But you can't really cut corners with your MPC card or your tan or your registration just because those are set in stone fees. So your shoes and your jewelry, that's going to vary too. Of course, you can buy used, but I mean, I've never seen used competition jewelry. So maybe like eBay or something, but I would just go ahead and buy it because it's not that bad. It's maybe like $50 for a set of earrings and bracelets. You don't have to have like belly button rings. Like, I personally don't like the look of a belly button ring. I've worn them before on stage and I just didn't like it. So it's a personal preference for me, but you do want to have like a nice set of bracelets and like earrings, maybe a ring as well. But like, yeah, I wouldn't go too crazy. Just something like subtle, but like blingy, like just show day stuff, you know. It's hard to describe, but shoes, I use L, competition shoes. I know you can also use the Shoe Fairy, or I think Angel Competition Bikinis makes, I'm not sure. Those are going to be around $50 to $100, even more than that, just depending on how much you want to go with the bling, because they do put bling on the shoes. I actually blinged my shoes myself and I really like it, and they've been like that for 3 years and they are like my favorite pair of competition heels. I have two pairs. One pair has a heel strap and one pair doesn't, and I like the one that doesn't have the heel strap. I'm not really sure why, I just walk well in them. And so, but I do have two just in case if something happens. And then I want to talk about your suit. So this is also one that I'm picky on, just because I feel like a cheap suit is just like trash. Like, you can tell when a suit was just blah. Like, you can just tell when it's cheap. And I just don't think, that's where you want to cut corners. I mean, you can do things like putting the stones on yourself. But I personally, like, I just wouldn't, just because I don't have the eye for it. All of my suits are made by Maria, and she owns Goddess Glam Competition Suits, and I will put her link in the show notes below. But she does a great job, and you can really tell the difference between her suits and other suits. So like, if you were to show me a lineup on stage of a bunch of figure girls, I could tell you which suit was designed by Maria, just because her suits are just so exquisite. And she does have some budget suits that look really good. So if your budget is in the lower, like anything below $500 is a low cost for a suit. And so you can look on her website and see what she has. But for myself, I did budget about $900 for my suit this upcoming season. But that just kind of depends. It just depends, guys, on like what kind of stones you want. And just how much you want. So that's just something you talk with your suit designer. But I wouldn't go with the person who offers the cheapest, because usually the material, the stoning is going to look cheap too. So the last piece of kind of this whole competition puzzle, I would say, is going to be travel. So I saved traveling for last, just because it is so different depending on each person. I personally cannot give you a exact estimate for your travel expenses, because obviously it's based on a lot of different things. First off, you need to identify, are you doing a regional show, a show that's within driving distance, or do you have to book a flight for your show? Most national level shows, which are not going to be your first time competing, but most national level shows you'll have to fly to, because they'll be in like Chicago, Las Vegas, Miami, Pittsburgh, things like that. So a lot of people fly to national shows, and those are obviously going to be more expensive just across the board as far as registration goes and everything. So you do have to factor in travel costs. The hotel, I usually try and stay at the host hotel. So what that means is most regional shows and national shows will have a host hotel where they have their tanning set up, and that's where you'll go for your check-ins the day before the show, and things like that. Most competitors do stay at that hotel, because sometimes shows will offer a special rate because they will have a room block for the athletes that book through that hotel. It doesn't necessarily mean you are competing at that hotel. I know some hotels you'll have a convention center or room attached to it. But I know, for instance, when I went to Little Rock for the Arkansas State Championships. The host hotel was the Marriott downtown, but I stayed in the DoubleTree, and the actual show was it was at the Marriott, so it wasn't a big deal. But I mean, I didn't want to stay at the Marriott just because I'm a Hilton Honors member, so I usually try and book with Hilton whenever I can. So I did save more money actually just doing my own hotel for that one. But you don't have to stay at the host hotel if you find a deal better elsewhere. But I will say, try to stay as close to the venue as you can, especially if you are competing in a larger show, just because of time restraints and traffic and things like that. And if you're in a larger city. So that's going to vary depending on how many nights you need to stay. I know for some shows you have a two-day show. For example, when I competed at the Dallas Europa, that was a two-day show, so we booked about three nights for that show. You know, you guys can also cut corners by befriending someone who is going to compete at the same show as you. I know I have plans for this in the future with a few girls at shows that I'm looking for. So you can split the hotel room pretty easy, and that saves a huge chunk of change for you and for somebody else. So just reach out and make connections. You can really help yourself out a lot by having connections in different cities, staying with friends, Airbnb, whatever. So that plane ticket, if you do need a plane ticket, that's going to be pretty expensive too. Obviously, I can't really tell you how much a plane ticket costs. That's just going to vary on location. Just know that you're going to have to factor in your plane, your hotel, gas for your car if you're driving. When you get there, you might need to have a rental car or an Uber. So factor in those prices, especially if you need to go to a grocery store or something, or if you want to go out to eat, if no one else is with you, if you don't have a car with you, try and factor that into your expense list. So I kind of compiled basically a total for all of this. And this is so my total for one show, if this was like my first show and I'm not reusing anything, like that's the thing, like the first show is usually the most expensive just because you are buying your whole suit for that show, your shoes and your jewelry and things like that. That's like, but then like at your second show, you're obviously, if you want to wear the same suit, you can. I know I did last season, and the jewelry was kind of the same, although I do have different sets of jewelry that I alternate depending on my mood. But anyways, back to what I was saying. So my total costs for my first show without, my first NPC show, and this does not include traveling or coaching, is about $1,500. And that's not really cutting corners. My suit was maybe $600, I think, for my first NPC figure show. And then my green suit, I want to say, was closer to $700. But I'll have to look back on it. I might be wrong, though. But anyways, so guys, I really hope you guys were able to kind of understand how expensive competing is. Obviously, if you are a sponsored athlete by a supplement company, sometimes they will help you out with some of these fees. Like I know some companies will pay like for your registration or for your NPC card or whatever, or your tan, or even your travel. I'm not sure. It kind of just depends on what deal you have, or if you have a sugar daddy, you need to milk that. But that's kind of the all, like, summarizing everything. I know there's probably more that goes into this, but this is about the largest things that you're looking at for your first show. Just really important to make sure you're on point with this, because when you're in prep and your calories are low and your body's already in a heightened state of stress and cortisol because it thinks it's starving, you don't want to add on emotional stress. Your body can't tell the difference between emotional and physical stress. So your body will reflect that stress, and you just don't want to have that financial strain during prep. You just want to make that one less thing you have to worry about. So that's why I always encourage my friends to prioritize finances and make sure before you even jump into a prep that you can afford at least one show that you want to do. I usually stick to about three shows as my sweet spot for a season. maybe for if I need to, if I didn't get like a national qualification that I needed or something or whatever. Who knows what this next season will bring. I do want to do about 3 shows. So we will see. But yeah, I really hoped that this helped you guys out a lot. And if you have any questions about competing or financing it or like what I did to cut corners, just feel free to DM me. If you liked this podcast, please leave a review. That really helps me out. If you hated it, peace out. Go find another podcast to listen to. I'm sorry. And then my next episode, I kind of want to do a podcast on first time competing / show day experiences. So I really, really, really appreciate you guys listening. Peace out.